Here from quarantine.
Here from quarantine. Well, that's actually the first part of our introduction. So welcome, everybody, to the Overlay Podcast, Episode 7. We have a guest on today, Jordan Hellstern, who is a two-time ring winner.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Zero speech championship, so I'm online with you there, KJ.
I've never won a spelling bee contest in my life, and at times I mix up the words winner and wiener. I'm pretty sure we can put that out online. I mean, it'll be fine. You can say wiener doesn't make it overly explicit.
Explicit, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Second to none, only to the people he has lost rings to. Jordan Hellstrom has two WSOP circuit ring championships. Jordan, what are your two rings in? You've got two.
We have a 600 PLO 2-day and a 1-day $400 no limit turbo.
Both of them you won at the WSOP circuit in Hammond, or
one at Pottawatomie and one in Hammond.
One at Pottawatomie, one at Hammond. Nice. And which one did you win first, the $600 2-day PLO tournament or the $600 turbo?
So I won the 600 PLO first, which was kind of like, I don't know. It was interesting because I got a call from someone like, they're like, the circuit's in town. And I'm like, yeah, it'll be out of town next week. You know, I don't want to play. And they're like, well, I'll just put you in everything. And then I was like, oh, I'll definitely play.
And I'll change my plans.
Yeah, we binked the first one, and then, you know, we won 25K. No one's seen me for, like, 3 days, and then we show back up for the main. And I'm pretty sure there's some legendary status there, too, because I was straddling at the 4,000 big blind.
In the tournament.
Yeah, I was, like, ordering quadruples for anyone who wanted one. And next thing I know, I woke up the next day with a call, like, go register right now. You loser. And I was like, I understand. And we can't say what happened that day, but some things aligned and we ended up bagging a huge chip lead and getting some kidney stones from partying too much for 2 days. So you'll notice a trend on these rings that I'm usually drunk or under the influence of something.
Which is all legal now, so you can perfectly tell people that now. I mean, you can do edibles at the table now and pass out gummies and hit some vapes. I mean, you can't vape inside the venues, but you can certainly head out into the hallways to have some fun. Not like the old days when you had to go hide out in the parking lot and hope security doesn't come by. And if they do, you're just like, oh, I'm making out with my buddy. I don't know what's going on.
that's actually a good story, too, with like the edibles. So the day I won that $400 no limit, we were driving up from Chicago. And I was like, hey, do you have any edibles? And he's like, yeah, why? And I was just like, well, let me get some. I'm just going to eat like more than I should. And he's like, are you sure that's not a good idea? This being my investor. And I was like, no, it's a perfectly good idea. Like, I always do things very well on edibles. And I was like, then I'm going to drink like a half a gallon of bourbon halfway through the tournament. And that's where we're really going to start getting some chips.
That is like your peak. You hit the peak right there after so many edibles and about a half a bottle of bourbon. You are ready to go. So you're basically like a drunken master of poker.
Yeah. So everyone needs to grab a pen and paper right now to, you know, if they want this coaching, you know, grab yourself some edibles.
If you want to be the first of the master class of Jordan, this is what it is.
Well, they all know that, like, it's just the monotony of sitting there in tournaments. Like, cash games, I could get, like, super steamed up, you know? It's like I could just keep rebuying, and I love that aspect. You know, some days I love losing. But, like, tournaments, you know, they're a little more delicate. It's like having a girlfriend. You can't yell at them. They'll run away from you.
It is true.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
analogy.
Analogy, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I just fired that one out there from the hip.
We do have Brandon on the line as well today because we are still in COVID-19 2020 where we're all stuck at home. So we're doing this all via teleconferencing, which is pretty neat that it's something that we can do now. Because honestly, I don't think I would want to spend too terribly long of amount of time with both of you in my office doing this podcast that way.
We wouldn't spend too much time sober, that's for sure.
Right,
we'd be at a bar within a half hour.
Right, it would be over.
Yeah, which at this point seems like a pipe dream.
So you won the 600. That was a two-day event. What was your chip stack like after day one? And also,
we'll go over the first one, then I'll tail back into the story of the second one. The first one, I remember it was a crazy day, and I remember I got it in for like, it was like 400 big blind, and I think I got it in like 7 ways. I obviously opened the action, but I got it in like 7 ways for at least like a starting stack plus. So it was like up to like 50,000. It's a 20,000 starting stack, so it's a ton of chips.
Right.
And I had ace, seven, deuce, deuce. And when they turned them over, like someone walking by gave me that like kind of crazy look, like, whoa, how did you get all those chips in the first place? And second of all, why do you have these
seven deuce
seven in the middle?
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I find like my strategy is always to win every tournament like as fast as you possibly can.
That's interesting.
Or pre-registration, knock as many people out as you can because you're going to win more money. So in the first one, I'm not kidding, like there's a crazy side story to it too. I knocked this kid out like, I think like 8 times, and they were trying to fill tables. So he kept getting sent back to our table because we kept knocking the same 3 guys out and they would come back and rebuy. So we have like a million chips on our table, and I'm not kidding either. Like we have like roughly like a million chips on the table, and they ended up like breaking the table because they couldn't fill it. So like we all dispersed, and like everyone's got like 400K. It's like all those people made the final table at the table.
Just because you guys just went crazy on the reentry.
Yeah, and the one kid I literally knocked him out, I think 11 times. So he's in for 6,600. And I like it ends up being like all of my friend's friend from like another angle, and I ran into him at Battle Creek, Michigan at a stop, and they kept saying I know who he is, and I'm like, I have no idea who that is. And then he showed up and I just like literally peed my pants laughing. I'm like, oh, this guy can't win, you might as well go home.
Just give me the 3 grand and go home and save yourself the time.
Yeah, so that one I end up waking up at like, I don't know, like 11:30, I think restarts at like 1, and, you know, end up smoking some weed, watching Daniel Tosh. My friend has to go get his wallet from his house so we could get into the casino. Like all these things, the bridge was out in whatever that is, Gary or whatever, Hammond. So we got to take like a half hour detour. So I ended up being like an hour late or something, like along those lines, something pretty late.
Now, did you have a pretty good chip stack, or were you kind of middle
of
the pack?
Yeah, I bag second in chips because I'm really good.
Nice.
So, yeah. So we come back like an hour later, and just right away I start just piling it up. I remember there was a girl sitting across from me. I started talking shit to her, and then I stacked her, and I said, see you later. Then we got into the money, and I literally ran everyone over for like, I don't know, 20 hands, and we were like at the final. And then all I recall is like having 1.1 million. We had like 6 or 7 left, and there was like 1.7 in play.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I remember checking in on you later on that day, and you just had like all the chips.
Yeah, the
everybody
tournament
else in the tournament could have put their chips together, and they still would not have been yours.
Yeah, the tournament director walked over, and he literally just started laughing. He goes, I'll go get the ring. So the short stack that day literally was like, F you all. Like, I'm going to make you guys follow ICM. And he, like, winked at me. And they literally all just blinded down. So I was straddling at the final table. And they all just literally waited for him to get knocked out. And then they, like, fell in order from there. It was like 5, 4, 3, 2, heads up, done. The second ring, I ate those edibles. And then I ended up drinking a bunch. And, like, we're at the final table for like 2 hours, just like 6 left. And I look back and there's like 8 of my friends. And I'm like, oh, what's up, fellas? And they're like, oh, shit. The kid to my left can't count. Yeah, we ended up sealing the deal. And like now the cat's out of the bag. Everyone's going to start winning rings and walking around eating edibles. But, you know, that's the secret to winning poker.
Do you have to include that in like the buy-in when you go back to your stakeholders? Be like, all right, well, I was in 4 times in the tournament, and then I bought a bunch of edibles, and then all of the drinks add up to this total, and then that's what like the totals will be, or
makeup is.
Yeah, do you have to work that out in makeup, or?
Oh no! I would say I was probably like piss poor then, so they were bringing the drinks.
Oh, nice. So they were just part of the deal.
Yeah, piss poor after, because I just basically slid him over the bricks of money, and then, you know, I was like,
and
well,
then you get the ring.
No, they don't ever mind. They know that, like, the drinking game's on point, because we follow up with, like, a second place in High Roller, but, like...
Yeah, tell me about that one. Where was the High Roller at? When was this?
Let's talk about in between. How about that? Man, did I get some receipts. Oh, boy. I killed a whole tree with just receipts that I got from all these tournaments. So I bricked everything like eight times because they're never shy. They just always have like a full clip ready for me to just pew, 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 fire it in there. A lot of unsuccessful attempts. I don't think I'm exactly playing bad, but like I actually play a pretty snug tournament game and I get really stubborn on like losing. I don't like losing my life. But I also don't like getting under starting stacks. So it's like, if I ever go under starting stack, I'm probably just going to walk back over and get a rebuy.
just going to punt it off and start over.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think, because we took a break in December and January. And then from there, we restarted. And I think Potawatomi was the second stop. So it's like, yeah, you win a ring in 20K. But I think I broke even at that stop because I fired so many bullets. Because it's like...
In the other events.
Yeah, there's a casino champ factor, so we're like, yeah, let's fire. We got an early lead. And then, like, the casino champ ends up, like, winning two rings and, like, getting second in the main. He's got, like, he would have qualified for points just from those three performances. I want to get coaching from that guy. He's probably not eating edibles and drinking because he was, like, 75. But, you know, if I could mix that into my game, you know, real threat.
Might be good.
But from there, it's like, I mean, I probably bricked like 50K in buy-ins. So it's like, you like, for me, maybe I'm a little more of like what we call a punter in the industry. So I'm going to torch more and probably have better results that are up top. But it's a costly way to get there for sure. And it's like one thing that I always try to calculate and think about when I'm playing is like, man, is this worth it? Like, are we doing this right? I'm playing a $400 buy-in and I'm putting $5,000 into it. And now I got to get like third place often. So that's not fun. Yeah. I'd like break even, not even win anything. And I think I'm winning in these at like a small clip. Had I not been so destructive, it'd be a higher clip, but it is really like, it is just hard. And like, I think the people that, you know, are playing them often, I'm like, how many times, you know, do they just like bust one bullet and go home? It'd be so dissatisfying. Like, I couldn't do it unless I busted like at least five bullets. It's
what's your record in one tournament? How many bullets fired in one tournament? Doesn't matter.
I put 11 in, and then I used the last one to just literally blow my nose and wipe my tears because I was so mad. I just sat in the parking lot for like a half hour in mid-January to cool off.
Now, how many buy-ins did you have into the PLO that KJ got second in?
I'll forward you my social security number. I'll use you as a write-off. I put, I think, 8 bullets into that, and some people were like, oh, I have more, and I'm like, okay. And then later, like, how many did you fire? I was like, 8, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I only fired 3, and I'm like, come on, those are rookie numbers. Like, don't upset me. Like, you're sitting there beating me.
Yeah,
and it's just like it gets sick because that clock starts ticking and you get to like the 500 1000 level in registration. It's like, all right, I got 20 big blinds in PLO. Do I think I could beat these people? But yeah, well, let's just start a cash game after and like go after them, you know. What do you do besides that? It's really hard to pack up your pride and like say you're not good enough for this one even though you tried 9 times.
I mean, you know, if nothing less, I mean, you are definitely a proponent of, if you at first don't succeed, eat some edibles and try again.
Yeah, well, there's some kids that tortured me in those ones too. Like, I got one outed like back to back and I was like really, really not feeling it. And I was telling myself that, you know, sometimes it takes 9. And every time, you know, it's like, well, sometimes it takes 8, you know, fire another one. Oh, sometimes it takes 9. And then I learned that there's a longer way to the registration line. So from now on, I probably won't beat that record because I'm going to have to take another minute detour to go the left way instead of the right way.
Right.
So that's just, you know, bankroll management kind of like in a different essence. That's leveling right there.
Right. Taking into account how long it's going to take you to register.
I know what you're talking about with the left way instead of the right way, too. You go out the back end and then around instead of.
Yeah.
It's double time for sure.
At the horseshoe?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I learned that from a real pro who like won out of me like 6 times that week, and just I almost quit one day, and then but then I got so drunk that I forgot I quit and I got up and got back to the casino.
Yeah, I remember you telling me, you're like, I'm done with this. I'm done. He's like, I stink. He's like, I don't even want to play anymore. He's like, I just want to win so I can stop playing. And then the next thing I know, you're just at the final table with a high roller.
So tell us about that one. Where was that stop at?
So that's at Horseshoe as well. So like last season, this is kind of like a little more end of like what I've been up to. So last season I kind of like accumulated points in a couple stops, and I went after it like at the end foolishly, like just unprepared for it. And it didn't like bother me or anything like that. Like at the end of the day, you're trying to make some money, whatever. The points don't matter. But I was like, man, if I ever did that again, like I would just have to go after it. And then it's like,
now can you explain the points?
Yeah,
top
so,
50 earners throughout the whole season.
Yeah, it's top 50 earners throughout the whole season, plus casino champion and main event champion. And then who's ever in like top 200 of player of the year or World Series, they can pay 10K to get into the tournament. Which but it's is, definitely so a different landscape.
Go ahead. We could potentially have the top 50 plus the, what is there, 15 or 20 casino champions throughout the year?
Yeah, about? Right, right. But
so that's 70 plus there's 20 main events is 90 plus an additional 200 people that could buy in?
Yeah, I think they cap it off a little bit, but essentially it's a free roll. You know, like just like anything, like you don't have to worry about the amount. You have to worry about getting up top. And that's so very much
prize pool.
So it's $1 million. I don't believe that the 10K gets added into the prize pool either.
It's just $1 million guarantee, and it's like
yeah, it's a flat million. Like whoever buys in.
Because they're probably upside down on it anyways. It's a marketing tool, right? I mean, they're just putting people in. Because so there's three ways to qualify. You either got to be in the top 50 for the entire season or the year long points list for all of the circuit events, or you got to be one of the casino champions, which means you won the most points at your stop. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I fired so many bullets at the Potawatomi stop. So I fire like 20K bullets, essentially, just trying to like casino champ. And these little I know these Milwaukee Bucks are just up here getting it. They're just winning rings, accumulating like 300 points at a stop. Like, you guys, Phil Ivey, for Christ's sakes. Yeah, so it's those three categories. Right now I'm in like 18th, I think, with like 180 points. And of this, I like flew out to LA because I was convinced to go there for their main and like maybe hit a couple of the West Coast stops and try to lock it up. And then obviously all of this happens, and then they hold like an online super series spur of the moment, which just like everyone that's traveling really hardcore because
yeah, if you're not in one of the states where you can play, you can't play.
Right, correct. And then they held 18 events, not like, you know, six events. They held 18, and like the floor on the points went from like 140 to 180. So it jumped like 25% for the top 50. And I'm just having to like watch it crumble in my face without anything to do.
Right, because you can't. Everybody's catching up to you, and you can't do anything about it. And it's limited to the four states or whoever that can play.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was like pondering going out there, and then I said, you know, like if they have another one, I'm just going to go out there and grind for it because I'm at the point where like I don't want to give it up now. I'm getting stubborn. Like last year I missed it like with like a half-hearted attempt, and this year I have it. And I did it in like limited stops. It was like pretty much four stops, and then I played like maybe three tournaments at other stops. So, I mean, I kind of did it in a short amount of time, which is nice. Same with the last season too.
When does the season run from? Is it like WSOP to WSOP? Is it like summer to summer? Is it just like 2019? Like what is the time frame? Do you have any idea of like when it starts and when the last stop is?
So there's the national every year at the end of the summer in August, and that's the 10K million dollar tournament. And then it's in Cherokee, so that's like the start date. And the end date is in New Orleans always at like the end of May. So it's from August to May, and then there's the three gap in the month or three gap where they go to the Rio,
the regular
summer,
the World Series itself.
So it basically starts after the World Series and goes until the beginning of the next World Series.
Yeah. And then it clips and, 3 months.
And what place are you in right now? Are you in the top 50? You said you were like 19.
Yeah, I'm in 18th, I believe, or 19. Wow. I'm in the top 20 for sure. And then a couple friends that I like travel with are in there as well. So we're all uncertain exactly how they're going to handle this.
Right.
I'd assume that they're probably just going to cut it right now and maybe have one more online series since they already did one. And then just say like, this is the points race. And now, if that's the case, I probably wouldn't go out there and play because I'd probably be locked in.
Right. You couldn't get knocked out by another 30 people on just an online series. Question, just a side note, because I've never played any of the American sites now since they've been legal in in whatever states that they're legal in. But if you flew to New Jersey and just stayed at a hotel, could you log into PokerStars or WSOP and just play on there?
Yeah, yeah. So
you just have to be in the state.
All you have to do is just be in the IP restrictions. It's really easy. They know if you're outside of it.
There's no way to hack that yet.
Yeah, there's no VPNing it because they have game integrity. So it's like everything's modified to like you can't do that. They don't want people in those pools otherwise because, you know, that's the legislature. So they're pretty tight on it.
They're pretty good at protecting that.
It's the same thing with DraftKings. I live right on the border between Indiana and Illinois. And when I used to live at my parents' house, I'm literally a block. I can walk into Illinois in, you know, a minute walk. Sometimes when I'm in like different parts of my house, it like registers me as it's like, oh, check your location. You're not allowed to bet in this state. So like, it has my GPS like thinking that I'm really, really close or potentially in Illinois.
And they're going to just flag you as being like, hey, you got to go to Indiana.
But like literally if I drive down the street or if I go east anyway into Indiana, just like even down the other end of my block, like then it's no problem for sure. So like they're that, you know, accurate and strict on, you know, where the borders
being
are.
Being inside those state lines, yeah.
Right, being inside the state lines.
There's probably like a gray area that they give like a certain, you know, 1 mile radius or something within the border to say like, hey, you definitely got to be inside. So you couldn't just like walk past the sign, start firing off some bets and then come back in.
Right. Right. Cause sometimes right, yeah. I'm looking at stuff. I'm like scrolling through like on the way home from work or something or like CCG event or somewhere around Illinois. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Why won't this thing let me do it? And I'm like, oh, I'm in a different state. Stupid.
Yeah. Government's just a different principle. Like we have laws that are based off 200 years ago before we had coronavirus and iPhones.
Yeah, but no, you can't take guns away. I don't want to give those up. So that's like number two on the, you know, on the list of stuff we get. So,
you know, so well, I feel like if you took the guns away, you'd feel, you know, you'd be taking away my right to re-enter. So
correct. Yeah. Cause you fire off a lot of bullets. You've got to be, you should be sponsored by the NRA. Nobody fires more bullets than Jordan. Be like Jordan, fire more bullets.
Well, this is what we kind of discussed a little bit. I think they would welcome me in with open arms, exactly, because we are a very dynamic character. You know, we could support any cause. I understand. I'd be like, they need their guns. I need my guns. You know, right. Leave the guns alone.
Don't take any away.
We're all firing out here.
So,
go ahead.
The high roller, I like almost didn't even want to play because I'm just like, I win a ring and now I'm getting stained again. You know, I don't want to say how much my makeup was, but we're getting like, we cut it down a lot. And then
Brandon,
like,
just to interject here quickly, since you're our resident expert, can you explain makeup just really quickly?
Yeah. So basically if you're getting fully staked by somebody, then they fully front your buy-ins. And then, you know, if I was putting Jordan in these tournaments, I would be paying fully up every single one of his buy-ins. And then, you know, say he bricked 10 $1,000 tournaments, he's $10,000 in makeup. You know, and then he wins a tournament for $7,000. Like, I would get the $7,000 would just go towards all to me off of his makeup. And now he's
towards the expenses, so to speak. Yeah.
Right. So now, I mean, there's a few different ways without getting into it too long. Like, there's a couple different ways. Some people operate like, hey, you're just going to have to pay off all of the makeup and then we'll just chop everything afterwards. So, you know, Jordan's $10,000 in makeup and he binks something for $20,000. I get the $10,000 back to make us even. And then we just chop $5,000, $5,000. And then that's it. And now we're back at zero makeup. And then he goes right back into makeup the next time he loses a $1,000 tournament.
Then the whole cycle starts over.
Or, you know, there's other ways, depending on, you know, your backing, your situation or whatever, where, you know, I'll be, say Jordan's $10,000 in makeup and then he goes to a stop in St. Louis and binks something for $8,000. Well, it's like, here, you take $1,000 profit, Jordan, I'll take $1,000 profit. And then we'll just take $6,000 off the makeup where, you know, you're kind of given a little bit more. It's not so strict. Like you're giving me back everything first and then you get your cut at the end when you're in the profit. Because sometimes it's just so hard to get out of makeup and actually survive and make money. Like, if this is your job, like, you need money. Like, even if you're in makeup for 6-8 months, like, when you bink something for 80% of your makeup, like, you need, sometimes you need some of that money just to live on. And then it's going to go the other way. Say Jordan is 10K in makeup and he wins 20K instead of me getting my 10 back and us chopping it up 5-5. It's like, here, you take all 20 and now I'm plus 5 on your dime a little bit.
Yeah, there's all different facets of working it for sure. For me, it took me like 5 months to unbury myself. We started in the profit and I actually previously, like you guys are well aware, but like previously I had a different backer. He passed away and then I picked up two new backers like instantly. I think it was at the funeral. As soon as it ended, they texted me.
Was it Carol Baskin?
That's so terrible.
He didn't know Carol Baskin, did he? Anyways, go ahead.
So yeah, I hop ship. So like previously, like I had no makeup because we had the, you know, the nice, when I won my first ring and I like played a lot, I played some after that. And I literally like never got into more than like $1,000 worth of makeup. It was a pretty blessed life. I just cashed everything. Wow. Like no problems. And then like when I found out really what makeup was, I was like, man, I'm above that. Like I know you bust tournaments, but like there's no way I see everyone I'm playing with. Like I could never go into makeup. And then I get buried into makeup and I'm like, well, I still see everyone I'm playing with. So there's a silver lining, but right now I'm not winning. So I need to do something differently. Q, nerd rope, boom, 400 milligrams of edibles, half a bottle of bourbon, boom, win a ring. Okay, change it up.
Switching gears.
So that's how the legend of the, that's how it was born.
Yeah.
Switch some gears. And
the high roller is actually an interesting one too. And like, this is actually like probably my favorite topic right now, which is people in poker. So I sit down at my table. I have like someone I played PLO with in the tournament, like maybe 4 days previous. And I doubled up in that high roller, like instantly just snap doubled up. And then the kid to my left wins like a four way all in to get to like, I don't know. We started with 30. So he gets to like 120K. I got like 60 and he proceeds to three bet 100% of my opens. So it's like, I'm used to this because people just, they don't want to give me any leeway to get chips. They know I'm going to like storm after them. And you just got to go to war in battle. So, like, I give him some folds. I give him some calls, mix it in. And then we get into this one hand where, like, we're super deep. It's, like, 200-300 big blind. And I open. He 15x's my open. So, let's say I open to 1,000. Now he makes it, like, 15,000. I have ace-queen suited. So, like, I have no idea what to do. So we're in the hand. I'm like thinking he proceeds to stand up and like, I make the call. So now this guy's standing and staring at me and I'm just like, okay, this is a little awkward. I've never had anyone stand up mid hand.
Is he sitting next to you or is he like across the table from you?
He's like three seats to my left. Okay. And I'm like already like very annoyed. And like after this point is like when it kind of erupts. So he just like kind of like grabs his big chip stack and just throws a piece of it in the middle, just kind of like gives it a loft. And I'm just like, okay, that's it. I'm like, can you sit down and be a human being, please? And he's just staring at me, and he's like puzzled that I would even say anything to him.
Now,
like,
how old is he?
He's like 30 years old. He's like the same age as me, like 30-something years old. And he's got like 2 million in cashes. He's played all over the world. And he's just being a complete moron. Now I'm just like puzzled, and I'm like, why is it always me that finds these situations that are just insane? I've had people just do the craziest shit to me at the poker table, and I was going to say like, I've never really reacted, but Brandon knows that's a complete lie.
That's a lie. Oh my gosh. I have some stories. Well, continue though. Continue with the same.
Yeah. So I ask him, I'm like, can you sit down? He's staring at me. And then like, Artem Zverkovsky is looking at him. He's like, all of this is like completely inappropriate and unnecessary. And the kid's still staring at me. And this is like a minute into it. And he's just like, what, are you intimidated? And I'm like, no, it's not the fact that I'm intimidated. I'm like, you just launched chips and exploded them into the pot. Now we got to take 10 minutes to clean it up. And like, all of these are due to your actions instead of like just playing poker. And all over the place, I get all these like crazy characters that like, I'm very, very aggressive on the table. And I will take every single spot against my grandmother in fucking Uno if I can. And I just don't care, but it's nothing personal. And people take it so personally that they freak out on me at the table. I get
you're just playing a game. You're not out to get anybody.
No, I got slow rolled last night online. It was just like, it's wherever I go. It's just like, I just get, it's like I get people riled up because I'm always going after it. And they're just like, well, I'm a really good poker player. If this guy stops winning pots, then, you know, I'll just slow roll him or something. I don't know what people are thinking, but it's kind of like hilarious. And this is just another factor of it. So I ask him to like chill out, sit down, and he ends up like, oh, this is the best part. So I don't know how many people know my best friend Buns, but he sits down at the table and he's been drinking, and he's just saying he has no idea what's going on. I didn't text him anything. And he sits drinking. He doubles up through the kid the first hand and he starts needling him. And I'm just laughing so hard. And then I text Buns. I'm like, before I even think, I don't know who texted first, but before I think I get the text out, he's like, I think the kid next to me hates you.
And he didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was really calm at the table that day. Like, I was just trying to play poker. I'm so buried in life that, like, I'm not thinking about this guy throwing Nolan Ryans in the pot, like, hitting us with a couple of fastballs. Like, I'm like, just be a human being. But I just find myself all the time reminding people, like, hey, listen, we're playing a game for money. Like, if you can't handle the heat, don't take it out on me. Just find a different – go play badminton, you know? Go play Call of Duty where you don't have to be around anyone, you know? Throw a temper tantrum, break
your
controllers.
Yell and scream all you want, yeah.
Yeah, stand up, throw it in the pot. So I was getting over that factor, and then I was just like, you know what? I'm kind of, like, agitated, so I'm just going to start drinking. And then from there, it's just, like, I started scooping up chips. And the other crazy part is we had at a stop, you can calculate your points. So I had a point bet between, like, a lot of people, but I had one heads-up point bet specifically. And I needed to basically just outlast that person in that tournament because they final tabled it as well. And he ended up busting out ninth. And I told him the SMD, you guys could all look that one up. Scoop, scoop, I win. You're a loser. And this is after he just busted for a $3,000 payout when 50K is up top. And you know, we went to war on that one. RIP that kid's career. I know his backer, too. His backer's from the West Coast. I don't know how he gets back because I just destroy him all over the place. Like, if that kid's getting back, then I'm sure his backer would put me in 100Ks because I'm just an absolute animal. But, yeah, so there was implications on, like, that as well. And then from there, I went to St. Louis, and I hopped in their main because it was, like, the following week. And
Wait, really quick. You got second in the high roller.
I did get second for 30K,
And you busted ace-king versus ace-jack.
Yeah, I'm
probably the worst player at the table.
Yeah, and like all the high-equity spots in all of these tournaments,
You had ace-king, he had ace-jack, and he dropped the jack.
I've been 3-outered out of like all the high-equity spots of like finally getting there, but it's no worries, you know, that's why you have makeup and machine gun clips.
Next weekend you go to St. Louis.
Yeah, that was a sweat too because I was like, that was like the hump to like basically get me out of makeup. I would have been well into the positive, and then I went to St. Louis and punched a bunch of 400s, so makeup just starts piling like right away. I go to St. Louis, I end up taking six in their main for like 16,000 or something like that, and basically,
which is a nice score, but still disappointing.
Yeah, because if you play the four clips in those, that's $6,800. So it's like, yeah. gauge your like net to the buy-in. It's really hard. So
Right. Basically
the moral of the story is it's really hard to do this.
I agree.
Do you ever get doing it all the time? I mean, is it something, I know Brandon said earlier, you're like, that's it, I'm done. I'm never playing again. I'm getting out of makeup and then I'm out of here. How often does that feeling come around?
I would say like one for me, like maybe once every 4 to 5, 6 months. It depends how much I'm in action. Plus I'm always like, when I'm in action, we're action. So it's like, I don't know. I think we've seen it in like the past years is like, people just like playing with me. I'm just aggressive and create for a good game. Sometimes I'm, you know, intoxicated, which makes for a better game. I don't even know the question.
Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get tired of it?
Tired of the grind.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, never because I love it so much. I just like beating people in games. It doesn't matter. Like
your grandmother. Yeah,
and I grew up playing Farkle with her, which is like a dice game. And she just, right off the bat, she played it wrong. And I knew that, but I was like, hard to convince an 86-year-old lady that, you know, like, she's not GTO in this dice game that we're playing for fun. You know, it's like, you want grandma to win, too. You can't just sit there and smoke your grandmother all the time.
Right, you gotta let her, you gotta let her win every once in a while.
Yeah, it was a compassionate thing, but I never get sick of it. I love playing. Like, I just get so thrilled to, like, sit down and collect chips. Like, a lot of people, I was just talking to someone who I really, really respect, and they've been kind of staying with me for like a month, and over the past month, like, we've never talked about poker, and this is probably like one of the better players that are in my circle and in my life. I'm like very willing to talk about it, but I finally looked over and I like said something about a hand that we were playing online. He like commented, and then like 10 minutes later he looked at me, he's like, hey, I never told you that, like, I hate playing poker. And I was like, no, you never said that, because I would never talk to you about poker if that was the instance. And I was thinking about, like, me versus other people. It's like, you're very passionate about it. Like, I've lost mine. It feels more like a job now than, like, fun. And I just love playing so much that, like, it never feels like a job, you know? I'd rather be broke my whole life and do this than probably anything, you know? It's just the best experience, and, like, it just treats you to, like, if you're trusting it, it kind of trains you for life and, like, what people are really about. And when you get better at exploiting it, your passion is always going to stay there, you know? You're always learning and you're always getting better. I don't think I'm getting better because I just play the same spewy craziness, but...
Seems to work occasionally, though.
Yeah, there's always big upticks. And then 75% of those big upticks is a 75% downticks, so... You know, 25%, pretty good.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Yeah, that was some simple math right there. But, I mean, like, if you're getting sick of the game or it's just monotonous, like, get better. And then you'll enjoy it more, you know? Winning is fun.
Or drink more at the table.
Yeah. That's like, yeah. So I guess you could say I do hate it in some aspects because I hate the monotony of, like, waiting for a good hand, you know?
You're just going to make your own hands.
Well, I was just thinking to myself, I could just start a cash game with these people and win like 20K right now in like a 1-2 no limit game. But here we are.
Playing in the tournament.
Battling it out in the streets.
Yeah. Blinds are up. All right. I got 10 bigs. Huge
edge. Yeah, it was 12 bigs.
Well, I hope that you get to make the high roller this year at the World Series. That would be pretty amazing to kind of follow you on that. But do you do anything on Twitter or Instagram? Do you have like a thing that you blast out your spewy comments on while drunk at the table, or no?
Oh, yeah, I think last Tuesday or it was last Monday I said it was anyone up for a little Monday math.
Nice. So I did actually see that. I did see that. And I scroll by it and I was like, what? Oh, it's Jordan. Obviously. It's good.
My mom snapped. Who did you get your math from? Did your cousin give it to you? I was just like, no, Mom, I'm not
Mom,
doing
it's
math
a joke.
Either. It's, like, it's for this Tiger King stuff. They're clearly doing math and it clearly led them down a good path. So
did you see how
really
the one, the head zookeeper's like, I know my teeth are all jacked up. He's like, I've never done meth a day in my life. And I was like, snap call, bluffing, for sure.
The best meme is the social distancing between his teeth. It says too close and like social distancing.
That one's really good. My wife found one that was like, how is it in Tiger King, the 10 most crazy moments... One of them does not include the head zookeeper pouring gas from one tank into another with a lit cigarette in his mouth, and that's not one of the top 10 craziest moments of this docuseries. Like, that doesn't even make the top 10. He's literally filling up a gas can from another gas can with a lit cigarette in his mouth. It's just like, nah, that's normal, everyday Tiger King life. Well, Jordan, thank you for coming on and being our guest and telling us some of your wild stories. I know that a lot of people would very much like to... you know, do what you do and play a bunch of the circuit events and get to play a lot of them differently and be able to just fire multiple bullets into tournaments and continue to go on. But you've had a lot of success, and we definitely appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we get to hear from you after the summer on how you did some craziness at the World Series.
Yeah, maybe we could do something with like a little promotional too. Maybe I could put up some online buy-ins and get like a five group together as a promotion, and we could do a little coaching sesh.
I love it.
Because aside from me being a special person, I actually am pretty good at the game, you know?
You amaze me more often than not, I promise you.
Yeah, I'd love to do that for like a good cause, you know?
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Brandon, have you finally figured out a tagline? No. 7 episodes in?
No, wash your hands.
Wash your hands, everybody.
That's all I got.
Jordan, thanks again. We will see everybody next time.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Bye, everybody.